A very good morning and peace be unto you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be home again. Now please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. In the Old Testament, chapter 2, Ezekiel, as we wait upon the Lord for His instruction. Are you ready? Did you come prepared? Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, listen carefully, and I hope you all are reading your Bibles, for this is the word of God. Verse 5, And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will not hear, will forbear, refuse to hear, for they are rebellious people, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be afraid at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Amen. I do trust that you all have your Bibles, and there is nothing more precious than the Word of God. Make sure you have a copy and come to the house of God with your Bible, and not just to carry it for show. Make sure you read the Word of God. This is the whole topic of our discussion and preaching this morning, the ministry of preaching. The greatest need for a dying world today is the Word of God, not peace talks in the White House lawn, where people play act, shake hands, and pretend to be friends and go back and make more bombs. The Word of God is the need for a dying world today. And Paul's one concern at the end of his ministry is that holding for the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For all his years of ministry, Paul is very concerned at the very end that he has been holding forth the word of life. And that is our concern here today, dear friends. We are not here for any social gain. We're not here for any kind of activity, but that the Word of God may be held forth from this pulpit, that you may hear and be instructed, and that all of us may return rejoicing. The Word of God has been declared today. Holding forth that word means preaching it, declaring it in its fullness and purity, and then living it. It would defeat its purpose if we just preach, go home, and then forget it. No, dear friends, preaching must be followed by doing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, we stand on the threshold of the 21st century. More importantly, I say we stand on the threshold of the third millennium. How long is a millennium? So we are about to launch, to walk into the third thousandth year of world history, and scientific and modern man today exults in his scientific knowledge and breakthrough, right? Oh yes. They leave us far behind. All we oldies, we got to catch up. Modern man is confident in his modern philosophy and psychology, concerned only about trade industry, economic growth, and world peace in that sense. Now, dear friends, while they labor and strive for a new world order through religious alliances and ecumenical movement and unity, we are here on a different agenda. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he comes, shall change us and make it worthwhile our following him today. But we are here to talk about the preaching ministry. You see, I say the greatest need of the world and the need of the hour is the word of life, not more economic growth, not peace negotiations, although we are grateful it has staved off a Middle East war right now. All right, postpone. Are you happy? Of course. We all like to have peace. But, dear friends, our greatest need is not for that peace. Our greatest need today is for the Word of God. For only the Word of God coming into men's hearts can change them and cause them to love peace. What's the use of saying, shake hands, go back and fight again? There must be the Word of God to come into men's hearts to change them, to change their affection, to take away the hatred, to give them new lives, a new hope, a new affection one for another. For if the Jews were to go into Arab homes and say, forgive us for bombing you, and the Arabs embrace the Jew and say, forgive us for making human bombs, there will be peace right away. Agree? Of course. But how can they do it? They don't trust each other. How can they trust each other? Only when the Word of God comes into a man's heart and renew him, change him, cause him to know his sin, cause him to turn to the Savior and say, Lord, forgive us for all the injustices we have done. Forgive us for our cruelty, for our violence. And if both sides would be converted, and that is the prediction though, you know that, when the Lord comes, both sides will confess Jesus Christ as Savior, instantly the Word of God goes into their hearts, world peace will come, true peace. So what did I say? The need of the world today is not for peace talks, but for the Word of God to be preached in all its fullness, that men hearing may receive and receive new life. How can they know the Word of God? How can men hear the Word of God? Answer, from you and me who have it. You see, God never ordained that angels come with the Word of God. Never. The Word of the Gospel is to be preached by those saved by the Gospel. You and I who have been saved by the Gospel have a responsibility. And God says, you have the word, go and tell them, thus saith the Lord. This is the highest and greatest task ever given to mortal men by the living God. What task? Preaching of the word, declaring of the word. And you say, well, that's you. I say, yes, right, also wrong. It's you. Every one of us who have the word, you have the word, you preach it. You say, where do I preach it? In your home. Obviously. You have a responsibility, son of man. You have a family. You are responsible for making that word known to your family. Read Deuteronomy 6. It says, everyone who is saved out of Egypt are to declare that word, to preach that word to his own family. While you are sitting down, rising up, whether you go out, come in, the whole day you have to declare that word. Of course, you can't do it the whole day, but the idea is there. It is our grave responsibility. Every family. I challenge you again. Do you have a family altar where you gather the family and say, thus saith the Lord? Do you? You say, I don't know. You know, how do you eat rice? Who taught you to eat rice? Dear friends, we must be serious. You say, no time. You time to eat? Yes. I never heard anyone say, this week I had no time, never ate. Everybody ate breakfast and came here. You know, dear friends, preaching of the word of God is nourishing our souls. So, you young parents with a child of 2 months old or 2 years old, you have a responsibility. As I said, there is no greater honor and privilege and responsibility given to human man by the living God but the preaching of the word of God. And that's you. Please, I'm not here to please or to entertain. I'm here to tell you, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says, you are responsible for your family. You're responsible for the house. You must gather at least once a day. You say, I cannot. Modern life is very pressurized. Think of this. When the Lord comes and you regret you never did it and things went wrong. Now don't. The Lord is coming soon. The days wherein we may serve him are not for many more days. When God gives you that responsibility, you are answerable to him and to those who are under you. You have a dual answerability. Please understand this. God has given me the word as a preacher. I am responsible to him that I be faithful to declare only what he tells me to preach. Nothing else. Nothing less. Nothing more. At the same time, I'm responsible to you. Because you have come here to hear the word of God. And if I do not give it to you, then I owe you. I fail you. Same with you. In your home, you are answerable to God and responsible for your family. You do it today. Don't say, I have no time, I don't know. As I said, it's not much more difficult than eating rice. Yes? When you realize this is so important, the whole future and the salvation of my family depends on my being faithful and all of us being faithful, all of us reading, loving the word of God and obeying it. And don't say, well, I wait for the Sunday for pastor to preach, then I get the word of God. I say, that is not enough. So I say again, the greatest need today for all the world and for you and me is what? The word of God. To be made known, to be made plain, to be made appetizing in many ways, of course. But even though not appetizing, sometimes jarring may be hurtful because the word of God can cut like two-edged sword. Nevertheless, however it comes, receive it with joy because God's word is meant for our good. Now I want to say this, dear friends, in the church there are many activities. Fellowship outings, gatherings, and so on and so forth, kindergarten, and other groups. But the main activity of the whole church family here is the preaching of the Word of God. That is why here we have on this pulpit, Thy Word is Truth. We set our focus right. In this church, as you realize very well by now, we major on the Word of God and we are very protective of the Word of God that none preach a false gospel from this pulpit. So you see, this pulpit is in the center of this sanctuary. You realize that. Not all churches. You go to some churches, it's pushed to a corner there. Why? Because they've lost the message. They do realize, they do not appreciate that the Word of God is central. Dear friends, out of the Reformation came this Reformation cry, sola scriptura. That's Latin, but it's very easily understood. Sola means soul, solely, only. Scriptura means scripture. So the Reformation cry that we all love is only the Word of God, not tradition, not any man's vision or dreams or any kind of thing, not any kind of other gospel. Sola scriptura. And therefore, we preach the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We give you the Word of God, unchanging, unchangeable Word of God. And it must be preached faithfully by anyone who stands here. Therefore, from this pulpit, you will not get anything less or anything more than the pure preaching of the Word of God. Sadly, there are many churches today who dilute that Word, dilute the preaching of the Word of God with all kinds of things. They have all special numbers. Invited artists, professional singers, come to the church. This is part of the program in America. And they are paid to sing, to entertain the people. We don't do such things. And now there are pulpits and stages of the church where all kinds of performances, slaying in the spirit, dropping down, fainting, swooning, and all kinds of so-called healings. Dear friends, many of those are demonic, carnal, and disglorifying to the Word of God, to the name of God. And yet it goes on as part of the ministry of the church. I say, dear friends, sola scriptura, only the Word ought to be preached and spoken here. So that is part of the reason why we do not have too much emphasis on choir singing, although it is not a bad thing, but we should all learn more congregational singing. Everybody praising the Lord instead of waiting only for the choir. Now, I'm not discouraging the choir, please. The choir has a very important function, but it has got a place. Yes? When we have a rejoicing, we have a choir. Thank God for the choir. Please sing. Please don't stop. But it must not deter and displace the preaching of the Word of God. There must be that centrality, the time giving to the preaching of the Word of God, you know. Our members who go overseas find it very hard to find a church where the Word of God is being preached. They say if it is 15 minutes, that's a long sermon. And some places, they streamline it to 10 minutes. Some places also have all kinds of things happening. When they walk in, they say, we thought we had gone into a disco. And so they walk home. So this is the problem, dear friends. Satan is smarter than we think. He wants to spoil the church by perverting the pulpit, by subverting the Word of God, by sending false prophets. Where do you find the false prophets? Thank God they're not here. But many churches allow them in. They appear to be very holy, holy. And they are ordained men with degrees. And they come in and bring another gospel, a different gospel. And then from there, they begin to subvert the whole church. So they preach what? Social gospel. They entertain. The social political talk from pulpits. Today, the preaching is on the best shows in town. I'll give you the review so that you know which theaters to go to. Now, this happens in certain churches. I'm not exaggerating at all. Dear friends, we must beware. Now we come back to the story of Ezekiel. What has Ezekiel got to do with you and me? You say he lived long ago. I say God's word is ever fresh, very modern. Let's read. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord said to me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet and I will speak unto thee. These words were addressed to Ezekiel. Where was Ezekiel? In the country of Babylon. Dear friends, he was not there on a round trip, please. Together with the other Jews, they had been captured to a foreign land. Because of the sins of the fathers, God's people had sinned and rebelled against the word of God, and there they were paying the price for their sins. And yet our God is so gracious and merciful that he goes to them. You ever think of that? You may run away, you may be in captivity, you may be suffering because of your own ill doings and misdeeds and so on. But God is ever merciful, and he remembers you as he remembered the Israelites. And he called on Ezekiel. Stand up. Why stand up? Because the Almighty God is speaking to you. You must pay attention. Be respectful. Stand up. And then God will give you a message. Verse 2. And then the Spirit of God entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, that I heard him that spoke to me, not by might nor by power, not by your own abilities can we preach the word of God, not by our own cleverness and learning and achievements and attainments. Those things don't count. You want to be a witness. You want to preach the word of God. You want to testify. You need the Spirit of God. Verse 2 says, then the Spirit entered into Ezekiel and enables him, empowers him. And I say this, friends, you must pray for the Spirit of God to come into your heart and life. For you know, when he comes in, you will not be ashamed of the gospel. Today you are very shy to speak the gospel, perhaps. When the Spirit of God comes in, then you say, I cannot but speak. There's a difference, isn't it? Before the Spirit came in, you say, I cannot speak, I'm very fearful. When the Spirit comes into you, you say, I cannot but speak. I must speak. I want to be a witness. I want to tell others. I want to preach the gospel. How wonderful. Verse 3 and 4. And he said to me, son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send you unto them. And then what? Note carefully, this is a message. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Every preacher goes not with your own inventions and your own philosophies. Your psychologies are no use. We have only the word of God to tell others. So when we go to any place to testify, we may say, thus saith the Lord, because what I have to tell you is the word of God. Now, how are you able to say that? There are today those who had an idea last night in their sleep, and he wakes up and said, thus saith the Lord. I said, don't listen to those people. But when you come to the word of God and say, I have obediently read and absorbed, and the Holy Spirit has revealed this word to me, then I can say, thus saith the Lord, because it is in Ezekiel chapter 2. It's there. You see, there is a difference, isn't it? God does not give people messages in audible voices or by visions today. Please, let's settle this once and for all. There are groups who come, keep on claiming. No, dear friends, we do not need those claims. So Ezekiel is sent, and you're going to see how he is assured the word he is going to speak is the word of God and not his own invention. When a person is called, he is given also power. As you say here in verse 2, the Spirit of God enters in. Then you are able to go. When you have that unction, you also have authority. It's so important that we understand that word of God has power, and behind that word, the person who declares that word is authorized. You follow? Yes. If you tell your child, this is the word of God, obey your parents in the word, in the Lord, you have authority. God gives you the authority as a father and mother to tell the child how the child should behave, right? You have authority from God because you declare the word of God.
So we understand this, dear friends. While we are earthen vessels and instruments in the hand of God, when God calls, then God sends. You have treasure in earthen vessels, and you, an ordinary believer, become ambassador of Christ. You follow? There is authority in an ambassador. When an ambassador goes overseas, he carries the authority of the president of Singapore to tell the other country what my president has to tell you. So this is the same idea. Ezekiel is told, you go. These people you're going to speak to are a very disobedient people. Who are they? His own people. Ezekiel's people. The Jews. God's people. So disobedient. So impudent. So stiff-hearted. Stiff-necked. Rebellious and stubborn. Then what do you do? You say, well, I don't think I can make much impact on them. They're so stubborn. No, they refuse to listen to me. That is not the point. What is the point? The point is that God has a word for them, and you are the messenger. You go and tell them. Whether they're going to listen or not is another matter. Here we come to it. Verse 7, please see. Thou shalt speak my words to them, whether they will hear or whether they will not, for they are rebellious people. This must not deter you. You don't say, well, I'm going to this land of Thailand. 99.9% are Buddhists. They're not going to listen to me. I better not go. No. 2 weeks' time, Reverend Chan and myself are going to Thailand. And we are going there for a purpose. In order to preach the word of God to the preachers. We're not going to evangelize as such. But we're going to preach God's word to the preachers who preach to others. So it's very important. We go with the authority of God. And God has given us this great commission. Now, let's look into verse 6 and 7 of this same chapter. Thou, son of man, be not afraid. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. What does it mean here? Even though they are very sharp and hurtful, like thorns and briars, they're not going to welcome you, you can be sure. They're not going to roll out red carpets. Ezekiel, welcome, welcome. No, they're going to be very angry, and they're going to be very sharp, like thorns, and they're going to prick you with their bad words. But God warned Ezekiel beforehand. Ezekiel, you're going to have a tough mission, very rough. They're going to give you all this kind of treatment. Continue to read, please. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Have you been bitten by a scorpion? I'm told it's very painful. So even though those people treat you like scorpions, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. My spirit is in you. And you have a message for them. You are an ambassador. Don't worry what they say to you. You just go because I authorize you to go. I said this is what we all have to understand. Read the weekly, and every now and again I read of Eban in Jurong. When are we going to read of Ebans in Pandan? Ebans are the evangelistic bands. People who, like Ezekiel, are not afraid of the faces of those people. Not afraid whether they are among briars and thorns and scorpions. Go and tell them the everlasting God has a word of life for you. And it says here, whether they will listen or whether they will forbear, don't worry. You must go and tell them the word of the living God. Now before going, God has a command to Ezekiel. Please see. Verse 8 says, thou son of man. You notice here, there's a word son of man is repeated again and again and again to remind us that we are but sons of man. See how weak and mortal we are. And if you feel weak and mortal, that's right. You have the right feeling. Why? Because you are the son of man. But son of man with the Spirit of God becomes a very mighty instrument in God's hands. You, young man, young lady, listen to this. You want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. son of man, daughter of man, hear what I say to you. What does it say here? Verse 8. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Don't say, I don't know. I cannot. No. If God has called you to be a witness in your home, in your school, in the workplace, be not afraid of their faces. Now comes the instruction. God says, open your mouth. Eat what I give you. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me again, son of man. Oh, how many times I say, son of man, daughter of man. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. This is not a bread roll or a cream roll, you know. This is a roll of parchment in which the word of God is written. In those days, they do not have pages, but it is the long roll. And it contains the instruction of the word of God. And God says, now, Ezekiel, eat this roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. What does it mean? He says, sounds very funny, isn't it? How can I eat this parchment? Dear friends, eating means to ingest and then digest and then assimilate, absorb. The word of God must be part of your system before you can go and tell anybody about it. So you say, I want to be a witness. I want to go to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I do it? I say, you begin by knowing the word of God. Eat the roll. Swallow it. No, I say, no. Chew it slowly and digest it and assimilate it. Are you reading the word of God? Eat the roll. Eat it every day. Don't say, I have no time. If you have time for 3 meals, why don't you have time for 1 meal a day of God's word? Eat it so that the word of God, the truth of God, the doctrine so precious without which man cannot be saved, become part of your system, part of your thinking, part of your affection, your desire, your direction, your impact, your impetus inside you is all motivated by the word of God rather than singing the top 10 hits that people like to sing. Young people, they know all the best hits in town, right? No, dear friends, we need to know the word of God so well that it becomes part of your system. Then only you can go and tell people, thus saith the Lord, and without fear. So this is it. We must all ingest and digest. Then we can go and preach. Today, we stand here in this pulpit and in this church against the tide. What do I mean? Today the fashion is not preaching, but the fashion is dialogue. This is pervading the whole Christian world today. Preaching is all right, but more important, they say, is dialogue. What is dialogue? And what is preaching? Preaching is God speaking to His people through one who is empowered or authorized to preach. And we can say, thus said the Lord. That is preaching. Listen. And it says here, whether you listen or you don't listen is your business. But the word of God must be preached. That is preaching. What is dialogue? Dialogue, I get down from the pulpit and sit with you and around the table. And we all sit on equal terms. You say what you got to say. I say what you got to say. And we try and merge and agree on a common ground after we have exchanged views. That is dialogue. Now, dear friends, we stand here against the tide. Are you worried? You like to dialogue? Well, it is going on. Every religion has a place. And one place for Christ, one place for Buddha, one place for Muhammad and all the rest and sits around. That's social. It's all right. It helps. It helps the community center, helps promote better interracial harmony. That's good. That's social. But dear friends, we are here beyond social. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look and expect the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming. And this message they cannot understand. They cannot accept. So they say, we dialogue. As in your friends, dialogue is social. Keep it to the social people and the political people. The Lord has a message for us, and we discharge our function. Today the trend is, don't be exclusive, be inclusive. Right? You follow? Don't say you are unique. You're not. You're just one among many. Not one faith, but many faiths. And out of this many faiths comes the word pluralism. You're going to hear more and more of it. Pluralism. What is pluralism? Don't say you only know the way to heaven. Don't say that. But say, I know the way, which is good way among many ways to heaven. That is plural, pluralism. So, dear friends, we are, as it were, the odd man out. We stand in a difficult situation. Are you worried? I say, no, friends. We have a mandate. We have a commandment. And we follow the Lord and we serve Him. But many churches have fallen away. So people go to those churches, what do they hear? They hear social talk. The same things they hear in the community centers, in the social clubs, they hear in the church. Then they ask themselves, we don't really need to come to church, right? I can hear it in my club. So what do? They leave the church, they join the club. Because of that, one church a week in England closes down every week. Thank God for that, because we bought one of the churches. Yes, Queen's Park. So, it's sad to say so, but because they close, we buy. Dear friends, we are in a difficult time, in a difficult age, but God has the perfect prescription for you and me. That prescription is in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Please turn there. The word of God, moreover, He said to me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So, I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said to me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I gave thee. Then, listen to this, did I eat it? And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Well, you say it doesn't look very palatable, but when you eat it, you read the word of God obediently, submissively, receptively, gratefully, and in the spirit, prayerfully. You're going to find a great change will come over you. Ezekiel says when he ate it, it was sweet as honey. And this is what the psalmist says, Thy word is sweet to my mouth, to my taste, sweeter than the honeycomb. God's word is marvelous. How well do you know it? We prepare RPG. How many of you use RPG? You say, I have some other system. Perhaps you have. But if you don't, I say, please do. It is like the roll that God says, eat it. You take the word of God, with help of RPG, and it's going to open to you a new experience. Understanding the word of God, say, oh, it is so sweet to my mouth. Verse 4. And he said to me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Ezekiel was called to a stiff-necked people, a stiff-hearted people. I say today we are in the same situation because the world does not like the word of God. You can be sure of that. So you say then we don't go. Is that God's command? No. God says go. Whether they like it or not, you go. But you must be a watchman for me. We turn to the same chapter, verse 17. And that brings us to the conclusion of this morning's message. Son of man, whoever you are, this word of God is addressed to you. Daughter of man, you are a young lady, you are a woman, a man. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, to save his life, And the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But watch carefully, this is the thing. His blood will I require at your hand. You are responsible. You say, how come I am responsible? I said this at the very beginning. How do people hear the word of God? Answer, from those who have it. Answer, from you and me. They cannot get it from any other source. We have the word. We have the truth. And to us comes the word of God says, stand up. I'm sending you to a rebellious people in town to declare the word. Where? In your own home, perhaps? In your workplace, perhaps? Among your circle of friends, perhaps? And you say, they are stiff-necked, very rebellious. God says, no, that's not the point. I'm calling you like I call Ezekiel, and you have the word, I give it to you, now, eat it. Right? Stand up. Spirit goes into you because you are ready to go. The Spirit changes you, and you eat the word of God. You are a transformed person. You have a message. You cannot have the message except you eat it. How do you eat it? You have to study the word of God every day. Then it says you are a watchman. What must a watchman do? A watchman is employed to watch, not to sleep. And we must therefore be conscious of this great calling. It says here, watchmen, you are to watch and warn people of impending danger so that they may escape. If you warn them in time and they listen to you and they escape, the credit is to you. Supposing you don't warn them and they die for their lack of warning, the problem is you, yours. Responsibility is yours because you've been called, you know, you're watchmen, and you did not warn them. Now, this is very serious. Verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die. But you have delivered your soul. Here is the crunch. Preach the word. Applies to all of us who have the word. We have to go and convince people. Starting with your own family, don't wait and say, well, my child is only 2 months, 4 months. Wait till he grows up. When he grows up and he's toddling around, he says, it's still too early. Wait till he is past his PSLE. By that time, he's not very interested in father and mother, you know that. They're more interested in their own friends and their own circles. And then they say, ah, it's too late. Don't say that. It's never too late if you start, even though late you start today, tonight. Preacher, go preach the word. Eat up the word. Eat it. Ingest it. Digest it. And then let it flow through your system. And with the Holy Spirit, be a preacher to your own home, dear friends. We have the word of warning from God. We are messengers from God. Messengers with that kind of news are the most welcome people when they have received the news. And when they've escaped from the danger and the death and the peril, they will look back to you and say, thank you. Will someone one day come to you and say, thank you. Thank you that you warned me. Thank you that you told me about the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you brought me to church. Thank you that you were a messenger, a watchman. Dear friends, we have something so great. It is the highest calling that God should call anyone to be a messenger for Him. Will you be a messenger for Him? Go and preach the word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this pulpit where Thy word is being declared. Each time the word is preached, may Thy Holy Spirit give the unction. Lord, bless all those who have heard today that Thy Spirit will begin a new work. That we will begin to love Your word, to eat it, to ingest and to digest and to meditate and to make it part of our system. And Lord, then send us forth that we were not afraid of people's faces, but we will go obediently and gratefully. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.